The book of Proverbs is a great book of the Bible. It's a tremendous book. And we're not going to be studying the book of Proverbs today. We are in Genesis chapter 1. But the book of Proverbs provides a good introduction to this subject, to the subject we're going to look at today from Genesis. The book of Proverbs is full of great wisdom, short, pithy statements, memorable statements. But there are also little stories in the book of Proverbs, and each of them makes a point. Each of them is designed to make a point. And I'm going to read one of them to you. It is in Proverbs 24, verses 30 through 34. Just listen to this like a story. I passed by the field of the sluggard. By the way, let me say that the sluggard is one of the characters in the book of Proverbs. There's the wise man, there's the fool, there's an adulterer, there's an adulteress, there's a whole bunch of other characters, so to speak. And then we come to the sluggard, which in a negative sense, I guess, would have to be one of my favorite words in the Bible, sluggard, because it just fits. It sounds like what it is. It sounds like it. Somebody who is like a slug. They're slow, they're lazy. I passed by the field of a sluggard and by the vineyard of a man lacking sense. Now, these aren't two different people. They're the same person in Hebrew parallelism. They're the same person. The sluggard lacks sense. And this person is walking by the field, and behold, it, the field, was completely overgrown with thistles. Its surface was covered with nettles, and its stone wall was broken down. Maybe you've had that happen before as well, where you have walked by a field or a piece of property, and it's in disarray. It just is completely overgrown. And then it does to you what it did to the author of Proverbs here. When I saw, I reflected upon it. He thought about it. Let's think about this. I looked and received instruction. Then he says this. This is his quote. This is what he comes up with because of this. A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest. Then your poverty will come as a robber, and your want like an armed man. Or your want there would be like a man with a shield. Now what's going on here is the person who is responsible for that piece of land didn't take care of it. They did exactly what the writer of Proverbs said. They were a sluggard, a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands. That's what they did more than take care of this piece of property. They violated God's command, is really what they did. They violated God's command to take dominion. That's what they were violating there. So would you please open your Bible to Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1, the first chapter of the first book of the Bible. We'll look this morning, or I'll read this morning, verses 26 through 28. Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 through 28. Once you've found that in your Bible, would you please stand in honor of God as His Word is read? Once I've read it, we'll pray. Genesis 1, 26 through 28. Then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the sky, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. God created man in His own image. In the image of God, He created him. Male and female, He created them. God blessed them, and said to them, be fruitful and multiply, and fill the earth and subdue it. and rule over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the sky and over every living thing that moves on the earth. Let's pray. Lord God, we ask your blessing on this, not just reading of your word, but also on our hearing of it and then applying it to our lives. May we understand it and live it out. Be hearers and doers of your word by the power of your Holy Spirit. Father, we thank you for your word and for your Son, who is the living word, the Lord Jesus Christ. In his name we pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Well, so far, this is where we've come in the book of Genesis. Actually, we've got a little bit further than this, but we're taking a step back today. What we've seen in Genesis so far is that God created everything out of nothing for his glory and for our good. We started out by talking about God himself. God is first. He's central. In the beginning, God. He's primary. He has first place. Then we looked at what God did. Where did all of this come from? Where did we come from? Where did the universe, the earth, come from? It came from God. Then, next, we looked at, where did I come from? What about human beings? God created human beings, we saw in verses 26 through 31, in his image and likeness. And last week, we focused on that idea more than any other, that God created human beings, male and female, in his own image and likeness. And we discovered that what that means is that man is like God and similar to him in some ways, but not always. And then with that comes a responsibility. Number one, we reflect him, we saw. We're like, in a certain respect, a mirror. We reflect God. We make him visible to the world. Then we saw that there are responsibilities that come with that. Number one is rule over creation. And then number two is reproduce a godly heritage. Now, because there was so much to say in both of those last two points, I want to go over this first one, or this the second one actually, rule over creation. Dominion. That's what I want to talk about today. I want to go back to this and think about it a little bit more. Give it a little more time than we had last Sunday to do that with. The first three chapters of Genesis will take a little bit more time. A little bit more. Originally, my plan was simply to go one chapter at a time. But going through Genesis 1 and 2 and 3, there's far more here than can be said in one sermon, or in the space of one sermon. We'll take a little longer with Genesis 1, 2, and 3. But then, and maybe I shouldn't do this, but I promise, the speed will pick up, okay, after Genesis 3. The speed will pick up. Now, the two words or two phrases that are important to us are these two. Rule over, that is in verse 26 and verse 28. And then the word subdue in verse 28. They're very similar. They're what are called functional equivalents. They're not the same two words, but they function the same way. They're very similar to each other. Rule means to take over and control. And in the English Standard Version, in the King James Version, it's translated as dominion or take dominion. Subdue means to bring something or someone into subjection. Very similar words. Now, Genesis chapter 2, verses 8 through 15, is the first instance of this happening, actually. So if you'd look there in your Bible, you might have to turn a page, maybe not. Genesis 2, verse 8. I'll read down through verse 15. The Lord God planted a garden toward the east in Eden. It's where we get the name the Garden of Eden. And there he placed the man whom he had formed. God creates this garden, And then he puts the man in it, puts Adam in it. Out of the ground the Lord God caused to grow every tree that is pleasing to the sight and good for food. The tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Now a river flowed out of Eden toward the garden, and from it there it divided and became four rivers. The name of the first was Pishon. It flows around the whole land of Havilah, where there is gold. The gold of that land is good, and bdellium and onyx stone are there. The second river is Gihon. It flows around the land of Cush. The name of the third river is Tigris. It flows east of Assyria. And the fourth river is the Euphrates. Then verse 15, then the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden, the key phrase here, to cultivate it and to keep it. To cultivate it and to keep it. It's as if God has said, I've given you this command, rule over the earth, take dominion, subdue it. And now here it is, now do it. Now you can do that. What was Adam supposed to do? He was supposed to tend the garden, take care of the garden. And that is what dominion or ruling over or subduing are all about. Tending the garden, taking care of whatever garden God gives us. We need to take care of it and tend it. This morning there are four aspects, or areas you might say, of dominion that I want to bring out this morning. There are more of them, probably, undoubtedly. They're physical, personal, public, and in the propagation of God's kingdom. First of all, physically. We tend our garden physically. Now that's the most obvious meaning of verses 26 and 28. We saw that applied in Genesis 2, 8 through 15. Physically, take care of the Garden of Eden. Tend the garden. And that's what Adam and Eve were supposed to do. Take care of it. That's the most obvious meaning of those words and of those ideas. Physically care for it. God has given human beings, graciously He has given us, He's provided us, everything on the earth and everything in the earth, and we are to be good stewards of what He has given us. In other words, we have the responsibility of taking care of it, of tending what God has given to us. So what does that mean? Well, what that means is, in terms of creation, nature, if you will, we need to study it. We need to look at, what is this? What is it not? What does it do? We need to study nature. We need to investigate it, develop it, and use the earth and its resources for God's glory. Only for God, for our good, but also for God's glory. We do it for the glory of God because we're made in His image and likeness. And we're accountable to Him, and we'll have to answer for that, for how we have used what He's given us. And for our good, because according to verse 29 that we did not read this morning, Genesis 1:29, then God said, behold, I have given you every plant yielding seed that is on the surface of all the earth, and every tree which has fruit yielding seed. It shall be food for you. God has given us these things for our good. But not just for our good, it's also for the good of other people. It's definitely for the good of other people. So we need to take what God has given us and use it wisely, and use it well, and use it for the glory of God, and for the good of others, for our good and the good of others. An example of this might be something, say, along the lines of electricity. Most of us wouldn't know what to do without electricity. And when the electricity goes off in our homes or offices or wherever we are, it's okay for a little while. But after a while, after it lingers for a while, what happens? And congregational participation is helpful at this point. What happens after a while? People get kind of restless, and chaos starts to set in. Why? Because we don't have electricity. Well, did Adam and Eve have electricity? No, they didn't. How did the human race get electricity? You know, did God create the world with 110 and 220 outlets and with the wires going everywhere? No. How did it come about? We had to harness that as human beings. Figure out, study, and investigate, research, and then develop it. We had to do that. That's the kind of thing that I'm talking about here. Also, one other thing, and sometimes these companies get a bad rap. Maybe they should, maybe they shouldn't. Most of us have visited at some time in our lives a pharmacy. Most of us have, for one reason or another. Are those pills just lying around? I mean, do they fall from trees? No. Someone, many people, had to do research. They had to study. They had to investigate. They had to figure out what does what. And what's good and what's bad and what would have a bad reaction and what will cause boils to grow on people if we give that to them. Oh, we can't do that. You know, so they had to figure out what to do. They had to subdue it, rule over it, take dominion, and figure that out. Some of us need what comes from the pharmacy. Some of us really do. We'd be in bad shape if we didn't have it. And there are all kinds of other things as well. Those are just two illustrations. Now, in taking dominion physically, we have to avoid two extremes. There are two very real extremes. On the one hand, we can never abuse and exploit the earth and its resources for our own selfish gain, just because we want to, just because we can. We can't do that. We can't use it in ways that leaves God out of the picture. God has given us these things to use wisely for His glory, for our good, for the good of others, not selfishly. So we have to be careful with that. If we do that, we're in rebellion against God. Now, on the other hand, there is another extreme which we can't go to, and that is we cannot worship the creation and serve the creation. That is in rebellion against God as well. If you're not sure about that, read Romans chapter 1, verses 18 through 25. It has a lot to say about that. Things like working in our garden, mowing the lawn, trimming trees, trimming hedges, raising crops, raising things in the garden, farming, raising animals, caring for animals, and even this one, making a meal, are all ways, they're all examples of physically taking dominion. It's interesting. You ask some kids, not in rural America, ask this in urban America or suburban America, where did that loaf of bread come from? What's the answer going to be? What is the answer going to be? The store. Absolutely, because as far as they know, that's where it came from. Oh, where did the store get it? Well, they got it from a bread company. You know that I've seen the trucks. They drive up and they put in a whole bunch of bread. Where did they get it? I don't know. They must have got it from another company. Maybe they made it. Maybe they just manufactured it. Maybe it came out of nowhere. Maybe there's a tree somewhere, or there's a plant that has a loaf of bread in a package already, and it's sliced. No, it doesn't happen that way. It doesn't happen like that. But when we take a meal, when we take all of these different ingredients and put them together and make something with it, that's what we're doing. We're tending our garden physically. We're taking dominion over what God has given us, and we're using it for a good purpose. Now, as an application of this, simply thinking about this biblically, just thinking about this will help us obey the command, because we probably haven't thought about it this way before, or not very much. Just thinking biblically about this, that's going to help us in the long run. The second way we tend our garden is we tend our garden personally. We don't have dominion or rule or subdue physically only. We also need to do it personally. What that means is our own lives. In other words, take dominion over yourself. That's another area of dominion. And we can find this all throughout Scripture. All throughout Scripture. Now, you've got some passages under this point in the sermon notes that are in the bulletin. And look those up. I'm not going to read all of those passages to you. Look those up, but I'll give you some ideas from them. The rest of the Bible teaches, and I think it teaches it very clearly, that we are to rule over and subdue what we say, what we think, how we act, and even our motives and our attitudes also. Ephesians 4, 17 through 24 tells us, don't live like non-Christians. It says, don't live like the Gentiles or those who don't know the Lord, is what Paul's saying. Don't live like they live. Don't think like they do anymore. But, he says, rather put off the old self, take it off, what we used to be before we knew Christ, and then put on the new self, the one that is made in God's image and likeness and is growing in holiness and righteousness and godliness. Put that on. Take off, and he gives some examples. Take all that stuff off. Put it off. And then put on like a new suit of clothes. Like, take off the dirty clothes and put on the clean clothes. That's what he's saying there. In other words, rule over and subdue yourself. Ephesians 5, 15 through 17 tells us to make the most of our time. Some translations say redeem the time. I like that. In other words, rule over your time and subdue it. That's a difficult one for us. Make the most of your time. Take dominion over that. 2 Corinthians 10:5 tells us to take every thought captive to Christ. Every single thought. In other words, rule over your thoughts and subdue them. We can do that. We can work toward doing that. James 3, 1 through 12. Hopefully you're familiar with this passage. It tells us to control our tongues, or what comes out of our mouths, basically. Our words, what we say. Rule over your mouth and subdue it, in other words. Then Proverbs 4, 23 tells us to watch over our heart with all diligence, or guard it. Rule over your heart and subdue it. Now, there are all kinds of applications for this personally. And this might seem a little bit odd when we get into these. Well, I haven't heard that talked about at church very often. But Jesus is Lord of all, not just what we do on Sunday mornings from 10 o'clock until 11:30. And the Word of God applies to every area of life. So what we need to do, using another cooking analogy, and I don't know why these are coming up so much, but using another cooking analogy, we need to take that dough and spread it. Don't have it just sitting right in the middle of the pan, but we need to take that dough and spread it out to the corners. Spread it out to every corner. The Word of God speaks to every issue, directly or indirectly. And Jesus is Lord of all, including some of these areas. Here's just a few of them. Just a few. What about our finances? Our money? Are we taking dominion over our money? Are we ruling it? Subduing it? Tending our garden? Or does it really control us? We can do that's an area that I would say most of us probably still need to work on. What about this one? Our clutter. Stuff. We have so much stuff, we don't know what to do with it. We have so much stuff, we have to go rent storage units to put our stuff in because we don't have enough room for our stuff at our house. So we have to get another one and put it in there, and then another and another after that because we have stuff. We need to take dominion over our stuff and our clutter and declutter. Even if it's just something small, like the junk drawer, the infamous junk drawer which everyone has in their house. Just open up that drawer, and that might take a real effort. I'm going to go open the drawer. Okay, put that on your agenda first. Open the drawer. Then, number two, go through it. Okay, you might have to do this in steps, a lot of them. Okay, go through the drawer, take everything out. Do you need, and we have this, and I don't know if we need it, we must have, and this is an exaggeration, 9,000 twist ties. Do we need that many? No. No, we don't need that many. You know, we need to go through ours too. But then begin to clean it out, declutterize it. Maybe there's some things you need to take to Salvation Army or Goodwill. Maybe there's some things that you need to ask Glenn to come over and haul away, and he'll burn at his house. Maybe, if they're made of wood, you know. If you've got some of those, let him know. I'm sure he'd be more than willing to do that. Maybe you have things that are in perfectly good condition that other people can use, but you never use it anymore. Declutter. It's taking dominion over that. How about this? And this, when I preach, I try very hard not to preach at anyone or at people and not myself. This one is a tough one. This one I'm preaching not only with all of these I am. Diet and exercise. You have dominion over that. All right. Come to church to hear about diet and exercise. Again, this is part of what this means. Rule over, subdue, take dominion. Ourselves. How's our diet? What do we eat? Write down what you eat maybe in a day. When I did that, diagnosed for type 2 diabetes in 2001, 2000, in 2000, I had to do that. The nutritionist that I was required to meet with, both Karen and I were required to meet with, said, I want you to tell me what you eat in an average day. That was embarrassing. That was embarrassing. I was ashamed of myself. You know, I felt like this big. It's just, this is terrible. But I needed to get a handle on that because it was 40 years of eating like anything and everything that caused the problem. Type 2 diabetes. What about exercise? Our diet. Are we in control of it or is it in control of us? Are we subduing it, taking dominion over it? That's in the. I seem to do that in fits and starts, like most people. I do okay for a little while and then I fall off the wagon, you know. And then it isn't so good. And then my clothes don't fit as well anymore. And I can't blame it on elves that come in and make my clothes smaller at night. And then I get up and put them on and they're tight. You know, it isn't that. It's me. It's because of what I eat. What about exercise? Pray for me on that. That's all I'm going to say on that one. Pray for me on that. I'll pray for you on that too. Okay? What about our time management? Take dominion over our time. How we use it. That's a struggle for a lot of people. Especially when there is such a thing, as I've said before, called the internet, which is the number one time waster in the world. It must, or at least it is for me, I'll say that. I'm going to go check email, I'll say. An hour later, I had 5 emails, or maybe 20, but you can go through them very quickly. An hour later, oh wow, what happened? I wasted an hour doing what? Going from link to link and website to website, and I have to read that. No, that looks interesting. How did M&M's get their name? You know, and I've got to read all of these things that don't ultimately matter. Or who's seeing who and how come that broke up. And it's unneeded information. What about our talents? Are we developing them? Are we taking dominion over them? What do we do well? Are we getting better with them? How about on the other side? Are we strengthening our weaknesses? What are we not strong at? And how can we make ourselves stronger? How can we get better? Taking dominion over those areas. Our intellectual development and growth. Are we reading? Are we thinking? Are we discussing things with people? What about our jobs? Are we trying to do those more effectively and more efficiently? Or, well, I show up and I get a paycheck. Are we taking dominion over what we watch? Are we tending our garden there? Not just TV, but movies as well. Or the internet, the things we watch there. What about what we read? Are we controlling that? Or our leisure time? And we can idolize, by the way, our leisure time. We can make that an idol if we're not careful. Where Saturday or whatever day, that's the most important day. And we live for that day. And we don't let anything else impinge on it, even if it's something good. We need to be careful. Again, the Word of God speaks to every area of life. And Jesus is Lord of all. All of these things. And there are dozens and dozens and dozens and dozens more of these areas. Tending our garden personally. Ourself. Are we doing that? We need to be. Then number 3, we tend our garden publicly. Publicly. We take dominion physically, we take it personally, but also publicly. And this is in just a little bit of a different way. This is in a bit of a different way that we do this. When I'm talking about taking dominion publicly, I'm not referring to taking weapons and going out and forcing people to do anything. That's not what we're talking about here. It's not certainly what I'm talking about. Genesis 1:26 through 28 has been called by a number of people the cultural mandate. What they say by that, and I would agree with them in a sense, that we've been given the task of creating, not just creating, well, first of all, we create a God-glorifying culture in our own lives and in our families and in our church. And then we maintain that God-glorifying culture in a way that it will influence the world around us. Influence the world around us. Not that we force that culture on everyone, but it influences people. And there's a good passage in the Sermon on the Mount. Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 through 16. We're supposed to be salt and light. That's how we take dominion in the sense of doing it publicly, tending our garden publicly. Jesus said, "You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt has become tasteless, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor does anyone light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand. And it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven." That is how we tend our garden publicly, by being salt and light. We're salt in a decaying world, because that's one of the things salt does, is it's a preservative. We're also light in a dark world. That's what we're supposed to be as individual Christians and as the church. So we do this publicly. Then number four, we tend our garden also in the propagation of God's kingdom. The propagation of God's kingdom. We rule and rule over, subdue, take dominion of the earth by using the means God has given us to build and advance His kingdom. This is probably one of the most important areas. Building and advancing God's kingdom is tending the garden that God has given us. How do we do it? We do it by fulfilling the Great Commission. That's Matthew 28, 18 through 20. Jesus, right at the end of the Gospel of Matthew, just before He ascends into heaven, He says to His disciples, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to Me." That's an important phrase. He says, "Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey whatever I've commanded you." Then He says, "And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age." He's with us as we do that, as we make disciples of all the nations. Baptizing them, He says, teaching them everything that I commanded you, which includes the Great Commission. Then we do it by preaching and teaching God's Word. 2 Timothy 4:2. Paul is talking to Timothy, a younger colleague, a man that Paul had mentored to minister, to pastor, to be a missionary. And what he tells him is, preach the Word. Be ready, in season and out of season. That means at all times. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with great patience and instruction. That's why we want to continue to be faithful to preach and teach God's Word here at Emmanuel, because it's one of the means God has given us to build and advance His kingdom, is the preaching and teaching of God's Word. And I think actually we ought to do more of it. We should have more opportunities to hear and to learn God's Word. Also in Acts 2:42, they were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching. The next way is by prayer, by fervent prayer. Again, Acts 2:42, they were continually devoting themselves to prayer. Romans 12:12 says, be devoted to prayer. Be devoted to it. By fervent prayer, we tend our garden. Then, next, by an all-encompassing love for God and for others. Luke 10:27 is Luke's rendition of the great commandment. Someone comes and asks Jesus, "What must I do to be, or what must I do to be fulfill the commandments? Do the commandments, and then you'll be saved." And then in a little bit, what is the greatest commandment? And Jesus said, "The greatest commandment is," said, there are in effect two. The first is this: love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your mind, and with all of your strength. And the second is like it: love your neighbor as yourself. So an all-encompassing love, heart, soul, mind, strength. What that means is everything. With everything we have and everything we are, love God and love others. Romans 12:10 says, be devoted to one another in brotherly love. So by our love for God and for each other, and then finally by sacrificial service, service to one another, we tend our garden and help advance and build God's kingdom by sacrificially serving each other. In Matthew 20, verses 25 through 28, Jesus said, "The Son of Man did not come to be served. He came to serve and to give His life a ransom for many. In John 13, right near the end, when Jesus has washed the disciples' feet, He says, I've given you an example, an illustration that I want you to follow. In Philippians 2, 5 through 7, Paul says, have this attitude in yourself, which was also in Christ. He was humble. He humbled Himself as a servant. Galatians 5:13, for you were called to freedom, brethren, only do not turn your freedom into an opportunity for the flesh, but through love, serve one another. Service. Sacrificial service. And I say sacrificial because it does take sacrifice and commitment and self-denial to serve other people. But the Lord has given us that example Himself. He served us. We are now to serve others. Now, as we do all of these things, individually and as a church, God's kingdom will be built and it will be put on display more and more in this world. We'll be tending our garden by helping to propagate the kingdom of God. Now, we know what happens if we don't take dominion in these four areas, if we don't tend our garden. We know what happens. Physically, personally, publicly, in the propagation of the gospel. What happens if we don't tend our garden, subdue and rule over, take dominion? What happens? Chaos. That's what happens. Absolute chaos in each of those areas. Mentioned it last week, I'll mention it again. If you make yourself a nice sandwich, why do these things keep coming up? I don't know. I think I know, but anyway. I think it has to do something with that illustration about tending your own garden personally, and the one in particular that I mentioned, the diet and exercise. I think it has something to do with that. You could do this with anything. Make a sandwich, set it out on the table, and just leave it there. Just leave it. Leave it for an hour, for a day, for a week, for a month. What's it going to look like after a month? Moldy, ridiculous, it'll smell bad, it'll probably have bugs all over it. Why is that? How come it doesn't get better? Why doesn't the lettuce in the sandwich become fresher? Because that isn't how things work. Things go from order to disorder. We said that with a teenager's room, with the top of my desk. That's what happens, and your desk, I would say, probably, as well. It goes from order to disorder. None of those things get better on their own. Physically, the things we talked about, that doesn't just get better. If you let grass grow, it doesn't cut itself. It doesn't. It gets really high, and then it's like a jungle. Okay? The things personally, if we don't take dominion, we'll have chaos, and we'll have to pay the consequences of what we have not done. Publicly is the same, and it's the same in propagating the kingdom of God. It takes effort to build and maintain. It takes a lot of effort. It takes no effort at all to let something go, because it'll end up in a mess or destroyed. It takes no effort. All we have to do is nothing. And we know what we're going to get. If we don't tend our garden, and if we don't take dominion, we'll end up like the book, The Lord of the Flies, if you've ever read that. Young boys get shipwrecked on an island, and what do they have? The perfect, well-ordered utopian society, right? Wrong. It is a mess. It's the law of the jungle, literally. We wondered at one point when I taught in a Christian school, even just a couple of years ago, when the elementary teachers would let their students out for recess, the change that would take place immediately. Nice children, well-behaved, quiet, courteous, kind, loving, intelligent, you know, very, very concerned about others. Okay, it's time for recess, kids. They go wild. And they lose all of those things. Why? Well, we figured it out. Because no one or no group of people was ruling over them, taking dominion and subduing them. They were just let go to do anything they wanted. That's what we get. You get the Lord of the Flies. That's what you'll get. You know, they'll be taking their shirts off and swinging them around and have face paint on if we give them long enough. But that's not just kids, though. We're the same way. Okay, we know what's right. We know we need to attend our garden. We know we need to take dominion. We also know what's wrong. We don't always do it. And when we do it, we don't always do a good job of it. Sometimes we're heavy-handed. Sometimes we're not heavy enough. We're not firm enough. We know we fall short of God's standard, His perfect standard. We've sinned against Him. We know that. But we also know from the Word what's needed. What's needed is God's grace. First of all, for forgiveness of sins. And if you have never come to know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, if you haven't believed in Him, repented of your sins, put your faith and your trust in Him alone for your salvation and for the forgiveness of your sins, I would urge you to do it today. Because that's the first step to taking dominion or tending any garden. That's the first garden for you that needs to be tended, not something else. But for those of us who know Him, when we have not tended the garden the way we should, we have to ask His forgiveness. And then recognize and thank Him for the fact that the Holy Spirit has given us the power to do it and to be obedient. We have that ability. We have it. We are to rule over, to have dominion, to subdue, and God has given us the ability to do it by His Holy Spirit. So the conclusion this morning, God has given us all kinds of gardens to tend. Physical, personal, public, the propagation of God's kingdom. I pray that we would all be green thumbs in all of those. Some of us aren't green thumbs at all. Some of us are what they call black thumbs, I guess. Just, you know, plants die very quickly around us. But in this area, may we be green thumbs for God's glory and for our good. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we praise You and we thank You that You've given us Your Word and that You've called us to be, You've called us to be those who tend the garden that You've given us. May we do it. Father, may we do it gladly and joyfully. And Father, may we do it in the power and the strength of Your Holy Spirit. It's part of who we are. It's part of who You've made us to be. As men and women made in Your image and likeness. I pray we would carry that out. And may we glorify You and may we understand it more and more. This is just a start. Father, we thank You in the name of Jesus Christ, the One who is the Lord of all. We pray in His name. Amen.